never want to forget. Amen? Satan would like to convince us that we're still under bondage, we still are guilty, we're still less than qualified or less than good enough to get to heaven. But God, for Christ's sake, has cleaned us up.
Amen.
And he has forgiven us of our sins. We are looking at spiritual blessings, and I am going, we've had a lot of preliminaries today. And those things are good and they're important, but I will abbreviate this some today. We've been talking about the spiritual blessings that we have in Christ, the spiritual riches, and the theme of the book of Ephesians is our riches in Christ, how blessed we are to be saved, how blessed we are. And in verse 7, it talks about our redemption. We talked about the wonderful doctrine of redemption last week. It's one of the most important doctrines of the Bible. It's spoken of very clearly that we are purchased, we are bought with a price, and that price was a high price. It was the blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and we are redeemed from our sins. The forgiveness of sins is included in redemption. And we stand before the Lamb, we stand before the throne of God, completely innocent, because he has cleansed us from all unrighteousness as we depend upon the blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. We are forgiven. We are forgiven. So forgiveness, number one, is the primary result of redemption. Again, let's read verse 7, Ephesians 1, 7. Let's read it very carefully. It says there, in whom we have redemption through his blood, comma, the forgiveness of sins. Almost like those two things are equivalent. It's like the same thing. Redemption means that we are forgiven. We are forgiven because we have been redeemed. And so redemption and forgiveness are twined together. Forgiveness, like redemption, is one of the central truths of salvation. We find forgiveness taught in the Old Testament as well as the New. It runs throughout the Bible. The very first mention of forgiveness in the Bible is in Genesis chapter 50. You remember Joseph, the story of Joseph and his brothers and how they deceived him and they traded him. And he ended up going down into Egypt and became the Savior of Israel, a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ. But at the end of Jacob, at the end of their father's life, the brothers were concerned that now that our dad is gone, Joseph is going to hold it against us, what we did to him, how we sold him into slavery, how we told our father that he had been tragically killed by a wild animal, how we had mistreated him, how we had despised him as a youngster, as a youth, how we had dishonored him. And now he has saved us. He has delivered us from perishing and famine. And now that dad is gone, now that Jacob has died, they're fearful that this powerful man, the second most powerful man in Egypt, they're fearful of what he might do. Will he take vengeance? And we know that they go to the brothers of Joseph, go to him, and they beg forgiveness. They say in Genesis chapter 50, verse 17, now that Jacob has died and is gone, we know that we know that you're aware of what we did to you, and we know that we are wrong in what we did, and we ask you to forgive us. And forgiveness is mentioned twice in that verse. And you know Joseph's response, that famous verse 20, you thought it for evil, but God intended it for good. And he completely forgave them of their wrongdoings. Just like God has forgiven each of us of all of our trespasses, all of our sins, God has forgiven us. Jesus explained to his disciples that the blood which he shed on Calvary's cross was for, or it accomplished, the forgiveness of our sins. He was able to forgive us because he satisfied the righteous demands of a just God when he paid the penalty for our sins and died on the cross in our place and shed his blood. And he said in Matthew 26, 28, "For this is the blood of the New Testament which is shed for the remission of sins." We're going to learn here in just a moment that remission, that word remission and forgiveness are the same word. They mean identically the same thing. They come from the same Greek word, and that word is aphesis. To be forgiven in the Greek is aphesis, aphesis, and it means to be completely pardoned. No, nobody is ever spoken of in the Bible as being partly pardoned or pardoned in certain areas and not pardoned in others. When God forgives you, he forgives you of everything you've done. He forgives you completely. And that's challenging to us as believers because we are to forgive one another, what? Even as God hath forgiven us. And he forgives us completely, to pardon completely, to deliver from the offense, to offer forgiveness, to give liberty to those who are bound by wrongdoing. Ephesians 1:7 is an interesting verse, "In whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace." It's interesting for another reason. It's interesting because there's another verse in the Bible that says exactly the same thing. Did you know that? If you were to go over to Colossians chapter 1, verse 14, you will find the exact identical words, except in Colossians, the translators, it's in italics, so it wasn't in the original language, but the translators added one word, the word "even." And so Colossians 1:14 says, "In whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins." And as I said earlier, the word aphesis, forgiveness, is also translated as the word remission. But forgiveness is not found that many places in the Bible. It is found in Acts chapter 26, verse 18, when Jesus gave the apostle Paul his commission to go to the Gentiles, and he told him that his job would be to open their eyes, to turn them from darkness to light, and from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of their sins and an inheritance among those that are sanctified by faith. And translated remission more often than forgiveness, 9 times in the Bible. We're not going to look at all 9 references, but let me just mention a couple. Acts chapter 10, verse 43, it says, "Whosoever believeth in him," in Jesus Christ, "shall receive remission of sins." Again, it's the same identical word, aphesis. Remission, forgiveness, pardon, deliverance. Hebrews 9:22, you're familiar with this. The last part of that verse says, "Without the shedding of blood, there is no remission." If Jesus Christ had not died on the cross for your sins and my sins, we would not be able to find forgiveness from God. So what an amazing gift of grace it was for the Lord Jesus Christ to leave the glory of heaven and come down to this earth and become a man and to become acquainted with grief and sorrow and to submit himself to the death of the cross that we might be forgiven. Those who are in Christ, we've talked about that. It's a key phrase throughout the book of Ephesians, to be in him, in Christ Jesus. Those who are in Christ have been redeemed, and that means that although we don't deserve this blessing, our sins are all forgiven. As I mentioned, the past, the present, and the future. John writes about this in 1 John chapter 2, verse 12. I write unto you, little children, because your sins are forgiven you for his name's sake. Forgiven for his name's sake. Paul says in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 32, and be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Colossians chapter 2, verse 13, and you being dead in your sins and this uncircumcision of your flesh, hath he quickened together with him, having forgiven you all your trespasses, all your sins. Secondly, forgiveness is the taking away of sins. Paul clearly taught that Jesus Christ takes away both the sin and the guilt of those who put their trust in him. Acts chapter 13, verses 38 and 39, it says there, be it known unto you, therefore, men and brethren, that through this man, through Jesus Christ, is preached unto you the forgiveness of sins, and by him all that believe are justified from all things from which ye could not be justified by the law of Moses. Through keeping the law, we can't find forgiveness. We do that. The Old Testament people did that to appease God, but it was given to them to show them that they couldn't keep the law. No one can keep the law. But blessed are those whose iniquities are forgiven and whose sins are covered, Paul says in Romans 4, 5 through 8. Sins being forgiven and being covered and being taken away. That's illustrated for us in the Old Testament. Israel's greatest holiday, their greatest holy day, is Yom Kippur, the Day of Atonement. Every year, on that day, the high priest selected two unblemished goats and sacrificed one. One was killed, and its blood was placed on the horns of the altar as a sacrifice. And then the high priest would place his hands on the other goat, symbolically laying the sins of all the people on the head of that animal, and then that goat was taken out into the wilderness and led away so far away that it could never possibly find its way back again, signifying that the sins of the people who were symbolically placed upon the head of that scapegoat, that animal, their sins were carried away symbolically. But that enactment, as beautiful and as meaningful as it was, never actually removed anybody's sins. And they all well knew that. It was only a picture of what God himself in Jesus Christ would do. Through the shedding of his own blood, Jesus Christ actually takes away the sin of the world by placing upon himself the sins of the whole world. He carries them an infinite distance away from us when we put our faith in him. Amen? When we trust him. That's why the truth that is expressed so beautifully and poetically in Psalm chapter 103 is so precious. Verses 10 and 11, for as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is his mercy toward them that fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgressions from us. And hundreds of years before Calvary, the prophet Micah prophesied, saying, who is a God like unto thee? A God that pardoneth iniquity and passeth by the transgression of the remnant of his heritage. He retaineth not his anger forever, because he delighteth in mercy. He will turn again. He will have compassion upon us. He will subdue our iniquities, and he will cast all their sins into the depths of the sea. God buries our sins in the depths of the sea. He'll never remember them. He'll never bring them up against us again. Finally, forgiveness is an act of God's faithfulness. You are familiar with 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sins, He is what? Faithful and just to what? Forgive. And we've learned that aphesis, forgive, means to pardon completely all of our sins, past, present, and future. When we confess to God that we are a sinner in need of salvation, He is faithful to forgive. Faithful to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Richard DeHaan says one of the Christian's greatest blessings is the forgiveness of sin. Without it, he says, we could never know joy or peace. In fact, without forgiveness, we would be forever separated from a holy God and barred from heaven and all of its glories. Forgiveness. It's extended to those whose confession is sincere. It's extended to those whose confession, when you come to God and you say, God, I'm a sinner, but I repent. I agree with you that sin is wrong, and I want to turn from it, and I want to lay that burden down. I want to give you that sin and trust that you will carry that sin away. You will forgive me of that sin. It'll never be brought up before me again. It is separated from me as far as the east is from the west. You're going to bury it in the depths of the sea, and you're going to forget about it. You're never going to remember it again. Forgiveness is extended to those whose confession is sincere. So when we repent, when we come to Jesus Christ, we need to mean business. You've probably heard the story of the man who couldn't sleep at night, had something on his mind. So finally, after several months of sleepless nights, he got up and he wrote a letter to the IRS. And he says, I haven't been honest on my income taxes. I've been cheating, and I can't sleep. It's on my conscience. So enclosed is a check for $150. And if I still can't sleep, I'll send the rest. Something wrong with the sincerity in that letter, wouldn't you say? We used to say to our children when I taught school, middle schoolers especially, are you sorry you did the sin or are you just sorry you got caught? There's a big difference. What about you, friends? Are you sorry that you have sinned? When you go to God and you ask for forgiveness, do you mean business with God? Lord, I really want to change. I really want to get rid of this sin, and I ask you to forgive me and cleanse me from all unrighteousness, and then lead me in paths of righteousness so that through your grace and strength and power, I can overcome the temptation to fall back into that same sin. We are forgiven, praise God. And we could spend a lot of time talking more about forgiveness, but we need to move on to the enrichment. We are also enriched by His grace, or enriched with grace, in whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of His grace. God's grace is lavished upon His children. The riches, the wealth, the uncountable riches of His grace is what this verse refers directly back to the forgiveness of sins about. The words according to make that connection. As God's children, we are forgiven of all of our sins, as we just discussed, but that doesn't mean that we stop sinning. That doesn't mean that we are perfect from that moment on, and that we never fall, we never commit error again against the holiness and righteousness of God, or trespass against His holiness, because we still possess that sin nature. We still struggle daily against the flesh and the devil, the temptations of the world, and the devil and the flesh. And we choose sometimes to obey God, don't we? Sometimes we choose to disobey. And we are convicted of the Holy Spirit when we do. And God reminds us that we are to live lives that are holy and pleasing unto Him, that we are bought with a price, and therefore we are to glorify God in our bodies and our spirits, which are God's. But we also have the confidence in all of that, and I could say much more about that, but we have the confidence that Paul says, there is therefore now no condemnation, none whatsoever, no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. We will not be held accountable because all of our sins, the moment we trusted Jesus Christ as our Savior, the moment we came to Him and confessed our sins to Him, He forgave us of all of our sins, past, present, and future. And so there is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. Listen, put it this way. We never have to worry about whether our sin will outweigh God's gracious forgiveness. Paul assures us that where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. That's a beautiful verse, Romans 5:20. We cannot sin beyond God's grace. Love that song that they played for the offertory. It is well with my soul. Why? Because I know that all my sins are under the blood of Jesus Christ. We cannot sin beyond God's grace, because as wicked as we are, as extensive as our sins might be, or as extensive as they might become, they will never begin to approach the greatness of God's grace. It is grace that is truly greater than our sin. The biblical illustrator, writer said, everything that God has done for sinners shows us that He is a God of grace. This surely ought to encourage sinners to draw near to God, that He might obtain, that we might obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Julia Johnston wrote those words, "Marvelous grace of our loving Lord, grace that exceeds our sin and our guilt, yonder on Calvary's mount outpoured, there where the blood of the Lamb was spilled. Marvelous, infinite, matchless grace, freely bestowed on all who believe, all who are longing to see His face. Will you this moment His grace receive? Will you this moment His grace receive?" Are you sitting here this morning, your conscience being challenged? Maybe Satan, maybe the accuser of the brethren, is the one responsible for making you feel guilty. Or maybe there's something, some unconfessed sin in your life as a Christian, and you realize that you've offended the holiness of God, and He wants you to come into His presence with joy, and to have that joy of your salvation renewed. Will you this moment His grace receive? Father in heaven, there may be someone here today who needs to understand that Jesus Christ is our peace. He is the one who died for our sins, and The reason he died, the reason for his death on the cross, was that his blood would be a sacrifice, just like the Old Testament animals that the priests sacrificed at the altar and placed their blood on the altar, not to satisfy the just demands of a righteous God, but to symbolize and to picture that one day God would provide himself a lamb. God would provide the sacrifice. And that sacrifice would be none other than the Lamb of God, the Lord Jesus Christ, whose blood is holy and without blemish, whose blood would stain that old rugged cross, but it would wash our sins completely away, so that though your sins are as scarlet, they might be as white as snow. You're here today, and you're wondering, how can believing in Jesus bring forgiveness to me? That's how, because he is that sacrifice. He is the one who died in your place. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. With every head bowed, every eye closed, is there one here today who would say, Pastor, pray for me. I think I need to believe. I'm not sure I've ever put my faith in Jesus. I need to do that. Pray for me that I might do that today. Anyone at all? God forgive each one of us of our sins that we have committed, even today or yesterday or in the recent past. Forgive us, Lord. Help us to walk with you in the path of righteousness. Help us to be in fellowship with you. Help our lives to be a testament of your grace. May we reflect the true nature of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ as we walk through this life, bringing glory to his name. Thank you, Lord, for forgiveness, and thank you for the enrichment of grace upon our lives. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.